We are going to go to Mark chapter 5, verse 21, is where we will start. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Yahweh, we thank you this morning for your love and your compassion. We thank you for your endless grace and endless mercy. We thank you that you're always there for us. Lord, I pray that you will open our hearts so that we can understand your scripture, that we can understand what you're speaking to us. I pray that you will open our ears so that we can hear you and obey. Lord, we love you and we thank you for being such a good God. We thank you for being a God that loves us and consoles us, a God that never leaves nor forsakes us. Lord, I pray that you will move me out of the way and help me to explain what you've been showing me. And God, I thank you for always being faithful. We love you, we thank you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. I absolutely love what Kevin said right before we started. Is did anybody see the debate last night? Because that's what the Lord's been talking to me about. In the presidential debate, in the vice presidential debate, one of the main reasons that we have these debates is that we can understand each person or each political party's stance on things. We can understand how they feel like they should deal with problems or how they should deal with, you know, whatever comes at them. But most of the time you'll hear people say, well, what's your stance on this? What's your stance on abortion? What's your stance on immigration? What's your stance? And in other words, what they're saying is, what do you believe should be done? What do you believe that could be done? And today, my question to each one of us is, what's our stance when God does something that we don't think he should do? Or what's our stance when we're waiting on God a little bit longer than we want to? Or what's our stance when we watch God do things for other people in our lives and things that we've been praying for, other people are getting or other people are experiencing? What's our stance towards God? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea." Verse 22, "And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live.'" Verse 24, "So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him." So we have a ruler from the synagogue, a man by the name of Jairus, comes up to Jesus and says, "Listen, my daughter's about to die. If you don't intervene, if you don't come and lay hands on her, she's going to die." And the Bible says that Jesus goes with Jairus. I would say that Jairus has a stance that he believes that Jesus is exactly who he says that he is. He believes that Jesus has the power to heal his little girl. He's traveled. He's done the steps necessary to get this miracle because he's got in front of Jesus and said, "Help." And Jairus, no doubt, had to travel. I'm not quite for sure how many days or how many miles, but he had to make a conscious effort to get before Jesus and to make his request known. And I commend Jairus for that. I commend Jairus for doing what it took to help his little daughter out. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know that it's easy to believe God when we feel him. It's easy for you and me to believe God when we're the only ones in the room. But Jairus is about to face something that might and probably would have changed my faith. It would have made me doubt. It would have made me experience unbelief. But it was a good thing for somebody else. The Bible says in verse 25, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.'" Verse 29, "Immediately the fountain of, the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" I believe this is the same kind of question that God asked in the garden and said, "Adam, where are you?" It wasn't because he didn't know, but he was wanting the woman with the issue of blood to realize what had happened. He wanted her to know that it was when she touched the edge of his garment that's when she was made well. The person that we don't think about in this story, the person I never think about in this story, is that Jairus is sitting around. Jairus has to be full of hope, has to be full of faith, because he's got the man with him. He's got the Savior of the world with him. He's got God incarnate with him, and they're going to heal his daughter, but there's an interruption. There's a change of plans. How many of us today can testify that we don't like change? I don't like it when I make a plan and somebody throws a wrench in it. I don't like when I have things all set up and I've worked to make sure that this dot connects this dot and this I is dotted and this T is crossed, and then something happens to completely throw it all in disarray. I don't enjoy that. It's frustrating. I tell people, just do it my way. It's faster. It's better at work. I tell people, listen, if you would just listen to me, then this wouldn't have happened, or we could have got this done faster, or whatever the situation may be. And sometimes I tell God that. God, if you would have just healed this when I prayed the first time. God, if you would have just not allowed this pain to happen, then I wouldn't, or these people wouldn't have had to experience this. But I want you to know that Brother Jairus believed God when he was standing in front of him when he got off the boat, and that he believed God when the plans changed. Could you imagine being Jairus in this situation? You're going to heal your daughter. You know time is literally of the essence. And Jesus stops, and this woman with the issue of blood stops him and receives the healing. The very first thing I would have thought is, what if he don't have enough to heal my daughter? What if the lady that just got healed was the healing for my daughter? What if the lady just changed the plans? What if he doesn't have power left? What if he doesn't have the anointing left? What if he's not able to do what he told me that we're going to go do? You see, my stance on Jesus is correct when I'm in the middle of church, but on a Wednesday morning or a Thursday afternoon, sometimes my stance gets shaken. And I want to encourage you today, because this story encourages me. Because, and just for the sake of time, when Jesus says, "Who touched me?" the woman says, "Listen, it was me." She wasn't necessarily proud that she had done it. I believe she was worried. I believe she was a little scared, because she didn't know Jesus' response. But her stance was, "I gotta touch him." You see, today, brothers and sisters, I don't believe a lot of us, myself definitely included, should be asking God to touch me. I believe I should be saying, "God, let me touch you." You see, I believe our breakthrough and our healing and the manifestation of some of the things that we're praying for from God doesn't come when God reaches his hand out to us. It's when we reach our hand out to God. You see, the woman put in the effort to get to him. She wasn't worried about the consequences. She just knew that she had enough faith that if she touched him, that she would be made well. And come what may, she was okay with that. She was willing to accept whatever consequences came as long as she touched the master. What if you and I had that stance? What if you and I believed when somebody said, "Listen, what's your stance on politics?" And we can explain that. But somebody said, "Listen, what's your stance on cancer being in the world?" What if you and I said, "Listen, I don't understand everything, but I know that if we can get to him, that in him is the fullness of joy. In his presence is everlasting peace and happiness and love." What if you and I just said, "Listen, I got to touch him"? Or what if, I challenge us today, we could stand back like Jairus and let God be God? Not one time, brothers and sisters, in the story does Jairus interrupt Jesus. Not one time in the story does Jairus try to stop the woman from coming to get her healing or you got your healing, and doesn't try to hurry up Jesus. Not one time in the story does Jairus tell the woman to be quiet. Jairus lets God be God. And today, that's my word, that you and I, just if we can, our stance can simply be, God, you be God. And your ways are better than my ways. And I trust it even though I don't understand it. And I trust it even though there's an interruption. And I trust it even though the plans aren't going the way that I set them up. But God, I trust you. In the rare situations in my life that I have trusted God, even when plans didn't go like I wanted them to, when I took my hands off the situation and said, God, I'm confused, I'm nervous, I'm scared, I'm worried, whatever my concern may be, but God, your way's better. In those situations, that is where I have found peace. I don't know what's going to necessarily happen with this election coming up. I don't necessarily understand why the hurricanes and things are happening, and I don't understand why people get sick, but I do understand that if we can be like Jairus and just sit back and let God be God, it doesn't mean be lazy, but it does mean that let God do it in His time. Let God do it in His manner. Because the God that you and me serve is more than powerful to heal the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, and then we find out He's more than able to heal the 12-year-old little girl. He's more than able to take care of your finances and your mother-in-law. He's more than able to take care of your grandparents and your children. The God that you and I serve is more than able to take care of everything that we stand in need of. A couple days ago, I guess 2 weeks now, I got to talk to you about the volleyball team that I'm coaching and you know, getting a little nervous praying in front of these 8, 9, and 10-year-old little girls. But we pray before practice and before games. And what's happened now is absolutely changing my life with these young ladies. I wanted to pray before the games, but that wasn't good enough for them. We now pray after the games. And that wasn't good enough for them. Now they want to pray instead of me praying. You see, brothers and sisters, because I was willing to step out on a little faith and say a prayer and say, God, you be God. If people get upset, let people get upset. If people get offended, then just be offended. But because I was willing to do a small step of faith, these young ladies, these 8, 9, and 10-year-old little girls, bow their knee, bow their heads, unapologetically, unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can testify that it's changing my life each and every time we pray. Because they're willing to be like Jairus and say, let God be God, that's changing my life. It's changing the life of people around me that's able to see what's going on in their lives. Jairus, according to the scripture, the Bible says that Jesus gets there. And everybody's upset. It's already been reported to him that his daughter is dead. And Jesus tells Jairus, listen, don't worry. Don't be afraid. She's only asleep. The Bible says that they go into the household and Jesus kicks them all out because they're screaming and they're yelling and they're mourning and they're weeping and they're afraid and they're scared and they're upset that Jesus didn't come perform that miracle. And the Bible says it's very, very clear that Jesus kicks them all out except Jairus and his wife and a couple of the disciples. I find it so interesting that Jesus took Jairus and the wife in. Jairus had seen the miracle that Jesus performed on the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. And I find it so profound, brothers and sisters, that this little girl that Jesus is about to heal, the Bible says is 12 years old. The Bible says that Jesus goes in and he touches the dead body. He grabs the young girl by the hand and raises her up, and literally raises her from the dead. But the important thing, the amazing thing in the story is Jesus was not supposed to touch the dead body. According to Jewish customs, they weren't supposed to touch anything that was dead. But also Jesus should have never allowed himself to be touched by the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years. But there's something that Jesus knew about himself more than all of us. He knew that as clean as he was, he knew his cleanliness and his power and his anointing was greater than any dead thing. He knew that the power that was on the inside of him was greater than the issue that that woman had with blood. He knew that the resurrection power on the inside of him was more powerful than the death of that 12-year-old little girl. You see, brothers and sisters, the stance that you and I have to take is the same stance that Jesus took. He knew that with and through God, all things are possible. He knew that with and through God, that he could do anything abundantly above anything we could possibly ask, think, or imagine. And I want to encourage you today to let you know that the stance that you and I should take is that we believe God. In the middle of the debate, let's believe God. In the middle of the hurricanes, let's believe God. In the middle of cancer and doubt and fear and poverty, let's you and me believe God. Jairus believed God. The woman with the issue of blood, the Bible is extremely clear, and it does not say that Jesus healed her. Jesus said, your faith has healed you. It's her faith in who he was. Who's waiting on you to have that kind of faith? In other words, who's waiting on you and me to have that kind of stance? That our own faith can heal us. Our own faith can make us more than overcomers in Christ Jesus. Our own faith can wipe away poverty, wipe away these storms. Who's waiting on you and me to stand and tell that hurricane to stop? You see, I'm of the opinion that you and I have the power to stand in the middle of that storm and to tell it to stop. Because there was a man named Joshua that told that sun and that moon to stand still. And Joshua literally means Yahweh is salvation. It's the reason our son's name's Joshua. If you and me can know that God is salvation, if we can know like Jairus that he's got enough power to heal the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, and he has the same amount of power to heal the girl that's 12 years of age. If you and me can know those simple facts, then I promise you our stance will be good. Our stance will be secure in Christ Jesus. In closing today, I want to encourage us. I want you to know that you're important in the kingdom of God. I want you to know that just like these 8, 9, and 10-year-old little girls that pray in front of me, that they pray unapologetically in front of me. They pray and they believe exactly what they're saying. They'll ask God to keep them safe. They'll ask God to bless the other team. They'll ask God to bless me. These little girls have a stance that they just believe God. And to me, it motivates me maybe more than anything in my life. What if you and I as adults, what if you and I as people that's been serving God can have that stance? That somebody says, listen, why do you believe this? Why do you stand with these people? Why do you think the scripture means this? And our answers are from the heart and our answers are from the scripture. That's where I think the sweet spot's at. To me, that's where our stance should be. On a firm foundation, on the word of God, and let everything else fall to the side. If I was Jairus, I would have been a little nervous, to be honest, that Jesus would have ran out of a little, I don't know if you want to call it healing power, I don't know what you want to call it, but I'd have been a little nervous that that woman took what was meant for my daughter. I would have been scared that that woman took the place of my daughter. And I know a lot of us can relate to that, that we're scared or we're nervous that somebody took our spot, or we're scared or we're nervous that we can't have because this person has, or we can't understand like our apostle or our preacher or our pastor, whomever it may be. But that's not the kind of God that we serve. We serve a God that's more than able. We serve a God that can do for others and do for us all at the same time. He is the everlasting fountain. He doesn't run out. That's why King David said, "My cup runneth over." David was trying to explain to us that I can't hold all this goodness. I can't hold all this anointing. I can't hold all this love because he never stops. God is exactly who he says he is. He's good. He's full of love and he's full of truth, but I want you to understand today he is for you. He loves you. He's fascinated by you. He absolutely sent the best that he has for you. He absolutely paid it all on the cross. He absolutely gave it all and is willing to do it because he loves you. That's the kind of stance he took towards you and me. He said, "Listen, I got to redeem them. I got to forgive them. I got to take care of them. And the only way I know to do that is I got to bring them back to me by coming down here in the flesh." God's took his stance towards you and me. And it's a stance of mercy and endless love and grace and compassion. What's your stance on him? Let's pray. God, I honor you. I thank you today that you're exactly who you say, that you're God full of love and truth. Yahweh, I thank you. God, I pray that like those little girls, pray in front of me, Lord. And God, the power that they pray in and the conviction that they pray in, Lord, I pray that you will allow me to inspire others just a little bit like they inspired me. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters that you will show them the stance that you've taken toward them. And that's a stance of love and peace and compassion. I pray that you will reveal to us that you want to bless us. You want to take care of us. I pray that you will show us that you're fascinated by us, that we're not too old or too young or gone too far or gone astray to the left or to the right too far. Yahweh, we love you and we thank you that you've never given up on us. And God, I pray that your way is the best way. And I pray that whatever you see fit in the election happens, I pray that regardless of our opinions, that you have the final say. Lord, we thank you for everything you're doing for us. I thank you for blessing us and taking care of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.